I've always been fascinated by names. If I see a unique name, I'll ask people if they have a unique name. I say, hey, what does your name mean? Because I just find names interesting. My name is not unique. In fact, Matt is one of the most common names for men born in the 1980s, maybe perhaps the most common name for men born in the 1980s. However, I do like my name. Hey, does anybody, I don't normally ask for feedback from the audience interaction, congregational interaction, but does anybody know what their name means? Anybody want to, what does your name mean, Miss Jeannie? Child of God. Okay, very good. Somebody else. What does your name mean? What does your name mean, Jubilee? What's that? Joyful. I like that. All right, let's get one more. Pastor Dirk.
Ruler of people.
Ruler of people. Yikes. Okay. All right. that is interesting. Can you go sit in the back, please? So, well, my name is Matthew Curtis McCraw, and I know what all my names mean. Matthew is of Hebrew origin, and it means gift of God. And that's what people call me most of the time, gift of God. Curtis is of French origin, and it means courteous. That's pretty close. And McCraw is of Scottish origin, and it means son of the prosperous one. And so, yeah, there you go. So if you don't know what your name means, I encourage you when you get home today, do a little research on what your name means. I think it's just interesting. Names are important. Names are very important. In fact, some of us are known by multiple names. My stepdad was known by some as Harold, and he was known by others as Wayne. And so, in fact, sometimes people didn't know who you were talking about if you didn't use the right name when talking about my stepdad. My grandfather's legal name was Charles, but his middle name and what most people called him was Everett. But if you worked with him at IMC Mines, you might have known him as Cuz. And so I don't even know how he got that name, Cuz. But we have his hard hat from where he passed away, and it says Cuz on there. And so I've always been open to just learning more about names. And by the way, I'm always open to ideas about a Christmas sermon. I don't generally, just so you know, pastors don't normally like for people to tell them what they should do. Like most people don't like, you know. But I'm always open to ideas for Christmas sermons because after a while, you feel like you're preaching the same sermon you preached the last 8 years, or in my case. And my wife actually had an idea this year for Christmas. She suggested that I teach a sermon on the names of Jesus at Christmas. She sent me some pictures of names of Jesus that are on ornaments on one of our trees here in the church property. And here is a picture of some of these ornaments here that our social media team put on Facebook. Some of you may have seen that. That's from one of our Christmas trees on site that you can see here in the building. So I thought Jennifer had a great idea. And so I'm going to teach about the different names of Jesus on this Christmas time. One of the ways we can celebrate Jesus this Christmas is by learning about and celebrating all the names that refer to Jesus. Now, Jesus has many names given to him throughout the scriptures that are in connection with his coming to the earth. So this morning, I want to dive into those names. Before we do, let's go to God in prayer and ask for his blessings upon our time, because it is such an honor to come here and celebrate and learn together. So join me now in prayer. God, we are so grateful to be here this morning and to learn from you and your word. What an opportunity that lies before us. And I pray your blessings upon this time. Lord, we thank you for everybody who's here today. So many people, Lord, that have come for one reason or another, but we're all here to hear from you right now. And I just pray your blessings, Lord. We have our children with us in here today. We have new folks. We have folks who've been here quite some time. Lord, we all need to hear from you. Would you bless us by the power of your Spirit speaking to us in a miraculous way? Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at some of these names given to Jesus, particularly concerning his coming to the earth, which is what we celebrate at Christmas, the coming of Jesus to the earth. So what are the names of Jesus associated with Christmas? What are the names of Christmas, as I've called it for this sermon? We're going to look at two major times when names were given to Jesus concerning his birth. So if you're taking notes, you can just see kind of two points there. It's actually like two categories. There's a space for you to write a lot more in your bulletin. So let's look at this first. What do the prophets say? What do the prophets say? If you're taking notes, you can write that down. The prophets were those in the Old Testament who were miraculously gifted by God to speak a message to God's people. That's what a prophet is. Somebody who's gifted by God in a miraculous way, a supernatural way, to speak a message for God's people to hear. Well, one of the main messages that the prophets proclaimed was the coming of Jesus. That if you look all throughout the Old Testament, there's many things from the prophets, but one of the main themes is when they're pointing God's people to the coming of Jesus. So as the prophets predicted the coming of Jesus, they would often use a name to refer to him that would tell God's people what he would be like, who he would be. So let's learn from some of those names. First of all, we hear the name Emmanuel. Now, I've got it spelled with an I. You can also spell it with an E. We just sang a song a minute ago where it was spelled with an E. There's not a typo one way or the other there. You can spell it both ways because it's coming from Hebrew into English. And so we have this name Emmanuel. The prophet Isaiah prophesied this name in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel." This is a very specific prophecy, and we see this very specific prophecy fulfilled when Jesus came. And we hear about it in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says this. "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." That would be Isaiah. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel." And we get the meaning here. It says, which is translated, "God is with us." This name Emmanuel is so significant because it means that God came to dwell with humanity once again. That's what it means. You see, when God created the very first humans, Adam and Eve, God was amongst them. God was with them. God was in their presence. However, sin separated them from God. In fact, all of humanity have been separated from God because of our sin. That's one of the many devastating effects of sin, is that it separates us from God. However, God chose to fix that separation by coming to be with us. Emmanuel reminds us that in Jesus, God is with us. Second, we see a name. Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. What does a counselor do? Well, you might say a counselor gives you counsel. That's true. The idea behind a counselor is that they help us. A counselor helps us with something. A counselor helps you see the right way to go in your decision making. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 gives us many names about Jesus, again, which we just sang about a moment ago. And we'll look at the entire verse in just a moment, but let's just look at a little bit of it. Now I have it on the screen for you. It says here in verse 6, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor." We'll stop there for now and pick it up in just a minute. I think we have that on the next slide, do we not? Let's see. Watch this. Boom, there it is. He will be named Wonderful Counselor. What does a counselor do? Again, they help us. This is what the scriptures teach us. Jesus came. Listen, church, we need to catch on to this. In case you wonder, why is he called Wonderful Counselor? Jesus came to help us see a better way of life. To show us, that's what a counselor does. They help you see the right way to go, the right thing to do. Jesus came to help us. The road of sin, where it leads, is brokenness. The result of sin is death. Well, Christmas reminds us that Jesus can show us a better way. He is our wonderful counselor. Also, we see another name. Jesus is prophesied to have another name in this verse, the name Mighty God. Isaiah 9:6 goes on to say he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This is significant. It's very significant that Jesus is called Mighty God. You see, Jesus was not just a good teacher, although he was a good teacher. Jesus was not merely a prophet, although he was a prophet. You see, Jesus, as wonderful as it is, was not only the Son of God. Jesus himself is Mighty God. The Mighty God of the universe came to this world as a baby, as a human being, so that we might know him and receive the forgiveness of our sins. That word, that name, Mighty God, reminds us at Christmas time, Jesus was a baby, but he was not only a baby. He was and is Mighty God. Another name we see from this one verse is Eternal Father. Now this is a bit different, right? He's the Son of God, but he's called Eternal Father. The verse says he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. Well, how can Jesus, the Son of God, also be Eternal Father? Well, what Isaiah is prophesying is that God the Son and God the Father are eternally connected in a unity that goes beyond anything we can understand. It's quite mysterious and very miraculous. God the Father and God the Son are distinct, yet they are unified. It's an absolute miracle. This is not the only place we hear about this. Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. You know, you may hear skeptics to Christianity or false teachers say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. That's pretty miraculous. That's pretty bold of Jesus to say if it wasn't true. Right? But Jesus said this, and we must remember when God came down in the form of a baby, he was Jesus, the Son of God, fully human. Jesus was not half human and half God. He was fully God. He was Mighty God. He was Eternal Father, and he was fully human as well. You might say, well, how does that work? Don't try to replicate that. Only he can do that. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. And he's able to do that. And he did it so that we might know him. You see, the names of Christmas remind us that Jesus came down in oneness with God the Father. Listen. So that we might also experience the love of the Father. He wants to call us Father. Or he wants us to call him Father. He wants us to call upon him for salvation so that we might be adopted as his children. And he did this all when he came in the form of a man and lived amongst us and gave his life on the cross and rose from the dead. And it all started as the Eternal Father planned this before even a grain of sand was formed on this earth. That's a reminder we should have for the names of Christmas. Finally, again, in this one verse, Jesus is called Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 concludes, his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Our world needs peace. Amen? Sin brought trouble. Sin brought sorrow. Sin brought hostility between us and God. In case you don't, we don't use that word hostility a lot. Hostility means that there was like fighting. There was tension between us and God. That's what sin brought. We need a peacemaker. We need someone to help fix that situation. And Jesus brings that peace. He's the best at it. After all, he's the Prince of Peace. These are some names from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. But elsewhere, Jesus is also prophesied to be the branch. The branch. Now, we're not talking about like a little stream here, okay? Like a little river type thing. We're talking about a branch from a tree. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 23, verse 5, he says, look, the days are coming. This is the Lord's declaration. When I will raise up a righteous branch for David, he will reign wisely as king and administer justice and righteousness in the land. Also, the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 11, verse 1, he says, then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Well, who are these guys? Who are David and Jesse? Well, David was the greatest human king that Israel ever had. And Jesse was David's father. And so they're from the same line there. And many prophecies in the Old Testament said that a great king would come from the line of David, which is also, in case you're not following, the line of Jesse, right? They're in the same line because Jesse's the dad, David's the son. That king, we come to find through the fulfillment of the scriptures, is Jesus. Jesus is the branch from the family tree of David and Jesse. This is one of the names that he was given. Why is this significant? It's significant because it points to all the promises of God concerning the son of David being fulfilled in Jesus. The Old Testament points us to look at something, to pay attention. This one who is coming will be the branch of David and Jesse. Finally, for today's purposes, in the prophecies, long before Jesus came to the earth as a baby, we hear of him being prophesied to be a ruler or shepherd. A ruler or shepherd. And we learn of this prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 4. It says this, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd them in the strength of the Lord. There's so much in these two verses. I mean, I could preach a whole sermon on these two because we hear that the prophet says one is coming. That means at this point he had not yet come. But how old does the prophet say that this one is? He's from ancient times. Well, if he's not come yet, how is he from ancient times? Because he's mighty God, right? He's eternal Father. And he's coming and he will shepherd and rule over the people of Israel. In fact, we learn over all people. We as humans need someone to love and lead us. We need that. There is nothing so crazy like a leaderless organization. We need someone to lead us. When we go out on our own, we wander aimlessly. The Bible calls us sheep for a reason. We're not that bright. We need someone to care for us, to love us, and lead us. We need a shepherd. And Jesus helped his followers because they were like sheep. They weren't that smart. They're like we are. And he helped them see this connection. He said in John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The one that was prophesied in Micah, I'm that one. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, the names of Christmas given through the prophets remind us that Jesus came to this earth as our shepherd and so much more. Well, let's look at this second category. Let's look at this. What do the Gospels say? What do the Gospels say? Now, the Gospels, when we use that word Gospels, the Gospels are the stories of the life and ministry of Jesus while he was on this earth. Those are the Gospels. The word Gospel, many of you know this, the word Gospel means good news. Well, there are four books of the Bible in the New Testament that are four accounts of the good news of Jesus Christ. Four versions of the story of the good news of Jesus Christ from his life and ministry on the earth. These books are called the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Mark, the Gospel according to Luke, and the Gospel according to John. But it's so much easier just to say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels, okay? So let's hear what the Gospels say about the name of Christmas, the names of Christmas. First of all, this is profound. You ready? Jesus is called Jesus. Jesus is called Jesus. If you look in the Old Testament, you won't see the name Jesus in that form, right? You won't see it. Why? That was the name he was given when he came to the earth. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And then it says, because he will save his people from their sins. Well, there must be a reason that because is there, right? It's because the name Jesus means something. Jesus, the name, is the English translation from the Greek translation of the Hebrew name Yehoshua or Yeshua, which means the Lord saves, or Yahweh is salvation. That's what name Jesus, the name Jesus means. That's why the angel said, because he will save his people from their sins. The Lord saves. This child will save his people from their sins. By the way, the English form of Yehoshua is Joshua. So Jesus is the same name as Joshua, in case you didn't know that. That's the same name. They both come from the Hebrew Yeshua or Yehoshua. Other cultures, I want to make sure we understand this. Other cultures use different forms of the name Jesus, and that's okay. Because his name, when he would have walked on the earth, his people would have referred to him literally as Yeshua. They wouldn't have said Jesus because they didn't speak English. They would have said Yeshua. And so there's other forms, like in Spanish, it's Jesus. In Portuguese, it's Jesus. Somebody, if you speak Portuguese, correct me on that later. Mandarin Chinese, it's like Yisu. And there's so many more other pronunciations of this one name, which all point back to the beautiful meaning that the Lord God saves. Yahweh saves. Jehovah saves. That is what the name means. And it reminds us, remember, what do the names of Christmas teach us? The name Jesus reminds us that salvation is found only in that one man, Jesus of Nazareth. That name reminds us of that. Another time in the story of his birth in the Gospels, Jesus is called Savior. He's called Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says this. It says, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. A Savior was born for you. You see, in our sin, we are in bondage. In our sin, we are in darkness. In our sin, we are in danger. In case you don't know, if you're in those situations, what you need in those situations is you need to be rescued. You need to be saved. We need to be saved. Jesus is the Savior whom we need. He lived a holy life, died on the cross, and rose from the dead so that we could be saved from our sins. He is Savior. Also, in that verse, Jesus is called Messiah. Again, look at verse 11. It says here, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah. The Messiah. Many of us have heard that verse, or that name, Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew form of the name. In Greek, perfectly translated, in Greek, it's Christ. It means the same exact thing. You might say, well, what does it mean, Pastor? It's a good question. Messiah and Christ mean the anointed one. The anointed one. The people of God, the Israelites, during the days of Jesus, were looking for the one who was prophesied all through the Old Testament from the prophets, whom they all collectively referred to as the anointed one. They're looking for Messiah. They're looking for the Christ. They're looking for the anointed one. You might say, well, what does it mean to be anointed? To be anointed means that God would choose you and set you aside for a special purpose. We remember, we talked about King David a moment ago. King David was the youngest of all of Jesse's sons, the least likely to be chosen to be king. And the prophet Samuel came and looked at all those sons, and he said, none of these are the right sons. There must be another one. And they said, well, there's one more. He's out in the field, but he's the young guy. Samuel said, bring him. And Samuel anointed King David, young shepherd David, to be king. Why? Because he was the one God chose for a special purpose. That's what it means to be anointed. God chooses you for a special purpose. Well, Jesus was the one anointed by God to come to this world and redeem us from our sins. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen, anointed one, chosen by God, blessed by God to do the purpose of God among the people of God. So let's look at this passage a third time in Luke, as Jesus is referred to as the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 11. Once again, it says, "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." The Greek word used here, I don't always quote the Greek because it generally doesn't even matter. But the Greek word used here is Kyrios, all right? Kyrios. That name actually can mean master or owner or Lord. It doesn't have to necessarily mean like the Lord God. We have words like that in the Bible. This is not one of those words. However, what's significant with this word is that it was often used in the Greek New Testament, or in the New Testament, which was written primarily in Greek, also in the Greek Old Testament. So Greek-speaking people of that time would have had a Greek version of the Old Testament, and where the word Yahweh was used in the Old Testament, which only refers to the Lord God, that Greek word Kyrios was used in the Old Testament. And often in the New Testament, it's used to refer to the Lord God, Yahweh. And here in this prophecy, it says, "In the city of David, a Savior was born for you, the Messiah, the Lord." It's as if the angel is making all the connections for us. He's not just a Savior, he's Messiah. He's not just Messiah, he's the Lord. This is what we have here with the names of Christmas concerning the coming of Jesus, our Lord. Next, we see here Jesus is also called King. He's called King in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. The wise men or the magi say, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." Friends, we need a king. Now let me just be careful here. I'm a proud citizen of the United States of America, and I'm glad we don't have a king. I respect and am proud to be part of a democratic republic, okay? But we need a king. We don't need just any old king. We need a good king. We need a holy king. We need a victorious king. We need King Jesus. He is the only king who deserves for us to bow at his feet, as the wise men did. They didn't just pay him honor. The scriptures tell us they worshiped him. They worshiped him. This is the kind of king we're not just showing honor to. We're worshiping him. And when Jesus came to the earth as a little infant child, he was acknowledged, honored, and worshiped as king. And we should acknowledge, honor, and worship him as king as well. Jesus is also called Son of the Most High. Son of the Most High. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." We see that connection there. We see that connection where he's also told again that he's, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, he's from the line of David, but he's called Son of the Most High. See, all the Jewish people of that day would know as they hear this. Listen, these are the Jewish people to whom Jesus first came. They take the worship and honor of God very seriously. And they would have known when they heard this name, Most High, they would have known that it was referring to the one true God of Israel. And Jesus was not only the Messiah, he was not only king, he was Son of the Most High. And next, as I've already referred to, he's called the Son of David. Remember, we learned from the prophets that he would be called the branch of David, right? The branch of Jesse, David's father. Well, we're getting the connection here in the Gospels, in the New Testament, the one that was prophesied, this little child That's him. He's the son of David. He says he will be great. Again, Luke 1:32, he'll be great and will be called the son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father. Not the Lord God's father, the child's father, but not his. You might say, well, was David his father? No, it was ancestrally down the line. He was his ancestor from the line of David. The Jewish people knew that the Messiah would be the son of David. They knew these Old Testament prophecies. They knew them well. That is why as you read the Gospels, they ask, could this be the one? Could this be him? We've heard about the son of David. We've heard about the coming Messiah. Could this be him? And of course, it was. Now we see this fulfilled in the Gospels. The baby born of Mary would be from the line of King David. Just a few verses later in the book of Luke, Jesus is directly referred to as the Son of God. Son of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 35 says, the angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. That's really direct, right? He's saying he's Son of the Most High. He's the Son of David. Here he says he's the Son of God. Very direct. So that we could know with the names of Jesus, this name Son of God replies to Jesus of Nazareth, who was born in the city of Bethlehem, as was prophesied, and that he was Son of the Most High, Son of David, Son of God. By the way, in this verse, Jesus is also referred to, let's not miss it here, is also referred to as the Holy One. The Holy One. Jesus was indeed holy. You might say, what does it mean to be holy, right? To be holy means to be without sin, without anything wrong in our lives, in our behaviors, in our thoughts, in our actions. Basically, like what we are not, okay? We're not like that, right? None of us are perfect. You know, I always tell folks when they're new to our church, and they say, sometimes they'll, and this is good, they'll say, man, I just love it here. Everybody's so loving and so warm, and I think we are. But I always say, if you hang around long enough, you'll find out we're not always that way. Because none of us are perfectly holy. I mean, we want to be more like Jesus, right? The Lord God tells us in the scriptures, be holy as I am holy. He calls us to that. That is our aspiration. But none of us are perfect at that. But Jesus was and is. Jesus was holy when we were not holy. He was faithful when we were not faithful. He was obedient when we were not obedient. While we were yet sinners, Jesus was the Holy One who died in our place, paid the penalty for our sin, so that we might receive his righteousness and his holiness. And he rose to new life so that we also may walk in a new way of life and start to pursue holiness. The Christmas names remind us how wonderful Jesus is. And that takes us to our bottom line for today. The names of Christmas describe the greatness of Jesus. The names of Christmas describe the greatness of Jesus. By the way, I could go on with names that refer to Jesus in the Bible. I just took a few prophecies regarding his birth, and I just took a few things from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All these names cannot do enough to describe how wonderful Jesus truly is. The world had no idea how special a gift they would receive when that baby boy came into this world. By the way, you might be looking, flipping your bulletin over, looking for a weekly challenge. Hey, it's Christmas. Take it easy this week, okay? I don't want to be too hard on you. But just take some time to just share the greatness of Jesus with somebody. Just love people in the name of Jesus. Just start. Hey, some of you, you're intimidated by this. I understand. Just do something small. I went to the new racetrack this week. Did y'all know there's a new racetrack in town? My family has gone there like it's Disney World. I mean, we're just so excited. Racetrack, racetrack. We went to a new racetrack, and I asked the lady at the desk there, who's gotten to know us really well because we go so much. I said, hey, do you have somewhere to go to church for Christmas? You should have seen her face. She just lit up. I said, you have somewhere to go for Christmas? She said, no, I don't. I said, come see us. Come see us at First Baptist. Now, I don't know if she's going to come. I don't know if she's here today or not. I don't know if she's coming or not. But just that little light, that little joy. Take some of that this week and give it to people in the name of Jesus. Because the names of Christmas remind us of the greatness of Jesus Christ. Jesus changes everything. He is such a special gift to our world and to us. God loves us so much that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in that son should not die, but will have everlasting life. He is all that the names of Christmas describe, and so much more. As you go this week, go with the hope and greatness of the names of Jesus. Remind yourself of all that he's done for you. Remind yourself of the true blessings that come with Jesus at Christmas and all year long. Hey, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've not been saved from your sins, these names are not just names. They mean something significant. And all the names of Jesus really applied to him. I mean, you look at my names, you go, I'm not so sure that really applies to you. Gift of God, come on, Pastor. But they really apply to Jesus. Everything that was prophesied about him and said about him is 100% true. And here's the reality. You need a king. You need a counselor. You need a shepherd. You need a savior. And he's the only one. In the book of Acts, after Jesus went back to heaven, the apostles who followed him, the disciples who followed him in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read about them. These men were so convinced that Jesus was everything he said he was and everything the Bible said he was, that they were willing to lay down their lives for him. And when they were given an opportunity to speak of the greatness of Jesus, here's what they said. There is salvation found in no one else than the name of Jesus. They were willing to go to their deaths, and most of them did, for that message. So if you're not a follower of Jesus this Christmas, give your life to Jesus. Let him be your savior. Let him be your counselor. Let him be your king, your shepherd, your prince of peace, your mighty God, your eternal father, so much more. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song of response. It's the time for all of us just to respond to the greatness of Jesus in our own lives and the reminder at this Christmas time of all the ways Jesus has shown himself to be great in your life. Just take that time to turn your hearts and minds to the Lord and be grateful for all that he's done for you. If you need to receive prayer or encouragement in any way, please know you can come talk to one of our pastors. I'll be standing down here singing with you, responding with you. Come see one of our pastors. Pastor Richard will be down here as well. We'd love to talk to you about how you can know Jesus. We'd love to pray with you and encourage you in your walk with Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today, give your life to Jesus. And you'll never forget how much he changes your life. You'll never turn back. You'll never regret it. He'll change you forever. However God is leading, respond as we sing. Join me now in prayer as we prepare to sing.